the Brown Girl Podcast. This show was created to elevate the voices and perspectives of dual identity South Asians around the world. Here we have conversations on topics and issues that impact our community, as well as share the stories of personal successes and the struggles that often go unsaid. My name is Julie George, and I'm your host.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. We are back with another episode. It is a part two continuation of talking about breakups and moving on when relationships or romantic relationships end. So we are chatting with Adia Roy today, and she's going to share her breakup story. We'll also run through some of the breakup questions that were submitted to us by listeners. So if you haven't listened to part one, make sure you listen to that episode as well. It's episode 23. I talk about my own breakup story and what helped me get through that period. And we listened to a few voicemail messages that were submitted by listeners of people sharing their own stories and experiences dealing with breakups. Okay, so with that being said, we'll kick it over to Adia.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. It's funny because you and I, we found out, have had very similar paths. So we both went to Purdue. I was at Purdue from 2009 to 2013. When were you there?
I was there from 2016 to 2020.
Okay, so just a couple years later. And then we both also lived in Seattle. And now we've both found our way down to Texas. So we've like...
Yeah, I've just been stalking you this whole time and you didn't know.
So before we dive into talking about all things breakups, like tell the audience, give us a quick intro so that people know who you are.
Yeah. So my name is Adia Roy. Some of you might know me on social media as the Lazy Career Woman. Tends not to have the name Adia associated with it, but I'm also on LinkedIn as my real name, Adia Roy. And I am very passionate about encouraging women in STEM to pursue their careers, especially South Asian women that I found we have a lot of support when we're in school to excel. But as soon as we get out of school, it's a lot about getting married, having kids, and having that relationship status kind of define our success rather than a lot of times career-based goals or other goals that we might have independently. So that's something I like encouraging on social media. So I do create content around that. And I am here today to talk about my previous breakup, which happened during my senior year of college, not too long ago. But I'd love to discuss it more with everyone here.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. Tell us your breakup story. Give us the background. What happened? You know, give us all the details.
Yeah. I was dating somebody for about 2 years in college. We met my sophomore year and we dated all the way up halfway through senior year. And we were in a, I would say, a relatively serious relationship. Our families knew about each other and we were dedicated to each other. I don't believe there was anything negative. There was no cheating. There was no regular emotional abuse or anything like that. It was a relatively healthy relationship. However, the breakup, it also hit me like a wall because of the fact that it was a healthy relationship. So come one fine January morning, my ex randomly decided that this was not in alignment with what he wanted with his future. It was a complete surprise for me, and I did not expect it in any direction. And I also had not had a breakup in a very long time. I had been with him for 2 years, so I forgot all my coping mechanisms and had to start from scratch on how to deal with this breakup. I had a lot of friends who kept telling me that he would come back, that, you know, he's just like freaking out because you're graduating soon or anything like that. And a lot of my friends thought it was useful to like kind of encourage me to wait for him and hope that he would be coming back to me. Yeah. This is because we were all like 21 at this time. And then at the same time, I was pretty sure that it was over because he was very firm about what he wanted. And he always knew what he wanted. So I knew the second that he said he no longer wanted this, that I didn't think it was going to change. I held on to the hopes for quite a while, but it was, you know, typical things like laying on the couch, not going to class, not eating, hoping that, you know, maybe if I, you know, get sent to the hospital, he might notice, like, so, you know, those stupid things that we do to ourselves, super self-harming. And little by little, I had some friends who would force me to go out and have fun and remind myself of what life was like before him. And I think that's something that really gave me a lot of strength, was to remind myself of who I was as an individual. And one of my favorite coping mechanisms that came out of this was what I like to call FaceTime therapy, but it's actually just like mirror therapy. So I would record videos of myself, kind of like I was a vlogger, and talk through my feelings. So I'd be like, today I'm feeling such and such. And I would like take myself down the why path, right? I would be like, why am I feeling like that? Oh, because, you know, today I found a sock. Well, why did you find the sock? Oh, okay, well, I was doing laundry for the first time in weeks. Okay, well, that's an accomplishment. And so you would like talk to yourself and you kind of like talk yourself through some tears, but then you end up smiling at the end of the video. And then I would go back and watch those videos at the end of the week when I was feeling down. I'd be like, hey, how bad was it 3 days ago? And I would go back and see my improvement over the last couple of days. And honestly, that is one of the major things that actually ended up getting me out of my funk and getting me back to the normal, confident Adia that I am.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting because I have heard of people writing down their thoughts and writing letters maybe that they never actually send to their ex, but I've never heard of therapy blogging. I mean, have you watched any of those videos now? Like, do you still have those videos to watch today?
So I made a video using those videos about 6 months later, I want to say, for National Suicide Prevention Day. And I mentioned about the fact, like, you should reach out when you have help. Like, I was able to, like, manage my own emotions through FaceTime, but, like, please do reach out. Uh-huh. So I made a compilation of those videos, and I did cut out the voice on it, but the video is still there on Instagram. But then I did end up, once I was okay, about, like, 8-9 months down, I did end up deleting all those videos because I felt like watching them now was bringing me down. Like, when I was already down, those videos brought me up a little bit higher, but when I was up, those videos were bringing me down. So I did end up deleting them entirely, so I don't have them anymore, but I would recommend them to anyone. And funny enough, I've now seen it on other people doing it on TikTok. And TikTok is this crazy world where you find similarities with people that you have absolutely nothing in common with, but there's a TikToker named Neha Dharmapuram, and she talks about she calls it something else. I think she calls it like laptop therapy or something. And she uses the camera roll on her laptop. And she has released actually a couple of like literal footage with audio and everything, which I was definitely not brave enough to do. But she's done the same thing. And I was like, oh my God, I thought it was just me. Like, but no, people have the same idea other places too.
Yeah, no, I love that FaceTime therapy. So this breakup occurred a couple months before you had graduated college, correct?
Mm-hmm. This breakup occurred January and I was graduating in May of 2020.
Okay. Yeah. And did you ever like contact him after? Do you have any communication with him today?
I think for a while, because I was on that he's going to come back mode, I was trying to be friends with him. So I would be in his space all the time. For about 2 or 3 months, we were actually very in each other's space because we were involved with the same orgs, which kind of had student orgs had kind of come because we had grown together over 2 years. So there was a lot of student orgs that we were in together, and I would see volunteering or like other things, and we would be very in each other's space. And I actually didn't publicly announce the breakup because I thought I could live in a, like, have people live in a fool's world for a little bit longer. But because of how involved we were with each other's lives, like, people slowly started to notice that things were different. And they were like, oh, when did you guys break up? And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to do work. But I think I kept in touch for about maybe 7 months after that, which was a pretty long time. And what did help was physical separation. So 2 months after our breakup, COVID-19 happened. And our campus closed down. And he was actually in India on spring break. So he got stuck there because the borders closed. And so he did not come back to the US until, I believe, earlier this year. He actually was in India for like over a year and a half or 2 years. So we were not physically in each other's space. We occasionally would talk on the phone. But I think overall, I must have cut contact about 7 months in. And that was something that I did. I think he enjoyed having that upper hand, that I still had feelings or that I wanted to reach out all the time. And he was being a little manipulative with the things that he was saying. So I eventually decided to put my foot down and cut off contact. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, the physical boundaries help so much, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
What would you say is one thing that you learned from that breakup?
I think one of the major things that I learned from that breakup was, I don't think anything in this world is permanent. And that was one of the relationships where, you know, I didn't feel 18 or 16. And I was relatively sure that I'm an adult and I know what I want. And this is who I want for the rest of my life. And he felt that too. But with this like rest of my life problem, I feel like I also, in hindsight, I let a lot of other problems slide. There were a lot of things that I did not make a big deal, or I did not put my foot down about, because I was like, oh, but this is the person, like, I'm going to make it work. And I think that's something, the non-permanency, it really reminds me to like actively be in a healthy relationship every single day, because nothing is permanent. So like, if any point in time you don't feel like you're with the right person, or you're not feeling appreciated, like, nothing is permanent. You can respect yourself and leave at any point in time. So that non-permanency was something that I really learned in that relationship.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have any other advice for people that are going through a breakup right now?
Yeah, I would say, I think it's really important to, like, I'm a very logical person. Like, 90% of the time I have to like logic myself out of emotions. So if you're like me, I think we have very like rose-tinted glasses when we think about exes, or right after a breakup, we're like, oh, so-and-so was so amazing. He knew all these great things about me, or he or she, whatever. But I think one of the things that really helped me was to remember the not so good times. So one of my friends sat me down one day with wine. She was like, okay, let's talk about all the fights that you lost at. Like, you know, it's to let we win, you let your point go. Or, you know, like any of those big fights that you would still remember that would still come up 6 months later. Remember those fights. And I was like, okay. So I sat down and I talked through those fights, and I felt like in a lot of them, my opinion didn't feel heard, or that mm-hmm. I let it go, you know, like in the tug of war, you just let go at some point because you're tired. And those are the things that I think it's really important to remember, that like when you have a breakup, it's not, there are sometimes that it's going to be completely out of the blue. But in this case, I think it wouldn't have been out of the blue had I actually been letting less things slide. So if I had actually sat down and talked through even some of those fights with my friends and been like, hey, so I, you know, this happened with my ex and like, or my current, I don't think I'm wrong, but he says I'm wrong. And I feel mm-hmm. like maybe this is gaslighting or those kind of things. I feel like that would have been very useful for me to realize that the relationship was not as perfect as I thought, and that breakup was actually a better thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I had similar situation. I talked about it in the previous episode, but when I was 28, I was in a really bad relationship. It's funny because I didn't even know what the word gaslighting is until after that relationship. And sometimes it's not even easy to recognize gaslighting. Like you were even saying, like, I think this is wrong, but he's saying it's not wrong. Like, it's not always easy to recognize gaslighting because narcissists are really good at it. But anyways, I think for me, after that relationship, it really taught me to put myself first, recognize those red flags, and not allow myself to settle for less, not allow somebody to make me feel disrespected. And once I was like really able to get out of that season, I just think back to that relationship and I'm so, so glad that it ended. And I think after that relationship, like now it's like I have the wherewithal to know what signs to look out for and like when I need to walk away.
Yeah.
And not continue to rationalize people's poor behaviors.
That's the perfect phrase. Rationalizing poor behaviors is exactly what I feel like I was doing, because I kept telling myself that this is the forever person. So yeah, that's very well phrased.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story and willing to open up about that. Let's move on and talk through some of the questions that people submitted and some of the Instagram poll results that I had put up a few weeks ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the first is, so you kind of touched on it, but let's talk a little bit more about this. What do you think about the idea of being friends, quote unquote, with your ex? Like, do you think it's okay to be friends with your ex? And for simplicity's purposes, let's assume this is an ex that you don't have any ties with, right? It's not somebody that you were married to or have kids with. That's kind of a different dynamic that neither of us have the experience or perspective of. So we'll assume this is a clean, quote unquote, breakup in which there's nothing that's still tying the two people together.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I am friends with some exes of mine. And I think it really depends on, I like to think of it as like a trial and error thing. Like, I think for me, I always consider my partner my best friend. And to lose a best friend really sucks. So at the end of it, if they can remain a best friend and not a romantic partner, I would prefer not to lose them. However, it takes an immense amount of mutual respect. And sometimes it takes some time apart too. So with one of my exes that I am friends with, we actually didn't speak for 6 or 7 months. And then we got back in touch with each other and we, you know, said hi and hello and how are you? How have the last 6 months been? And now we're not best friends by any means, but we do check in on each other. And we're like, hey, how's life? He recently got engaged. I'm super happy for him. Like those kind of things.
Okay.
Where it's a lot of mutual respect. And I think it's very important for both parties to have withdrawn from the relationship. If one person still expects that they're going to come back or whatever, or has not accepted that this is over, I think that becomes really tricky. But in our case, like we both moved on, we were dating different people. And that's at the time that we got in touch. And then we were just really happy to be in each other's lives because we had missed each other, but without necessarily expecting something romantic in return. So I have a positive use case, but I also have like 10 negative use cases where I am not in touch with my exes at all. And in the most part, I think people, including me, there are certain times that I've not been able to respect people after what they've done. So I think mutual respect is not something that's like a given. It has to be earned. And so mutual respect, if it is possible. And then on top of that, I think there still has to be something to talk about. I think a lot of times when you're getting out of an abusive relationship with one of my exes, we had an emotionally abusive relationship. I just didn't need that energy in my life. And there was no reason for me to talk to that person anymore. And no reason for me to bring that same energy that I had walked out from back in. So in that case, I have no use. Like there's no pros of us staying in touch. So why do it?
Right. Yeah, I agree with what you said in that there's a time factor. Like, I do think it's important that there is some time that's taken apart where you're both just completely separated from each other. I mean, when it's someone that you have invested a lot into and there was a lot of heartbreak and tears, you know, you can't just be friends with them, quote unquote, right after the breakup. Like, there's no way. And also, I think like, so where I stand on it is I lean more toward no. I don't think that it's a good idea. I don't think that most people can be, quote, friends with their ex. Because like when I think of a friend, I'm thinking somebody who I could very comfortably grab coffee with and just chit chat about life with, and somebody that I can randomly text and be like, hey, how are you? I miss you. I haven't talked to you in a while. Let's catch up soon, and not have to worry about like, what kind of emotions this will elicit, you know, if there's any kind of emotional stress that it might create for someone on a Thursday afternoon. And those are the kinds of things that I think about when like I'm thinking of a friend. You know, there's a distinction between like being cordial and civil with each other versus being friends. And I think that it's difficult to do when you have history, you know, there's memories, there's emotions. I think like if you have an ex reaching out because they want to grab a drink, chances are, even if it's harmless, 9 times out of 10, there is likely some underlying hope from whichever party is the one initiating to just see if there's some, you know, still something there, or if there's still a spark. So I don't like the idea of like being friends because it's a slippery slope. I think it's possible, but I think, you know, there are more times where it's not. We asked this question on Instagram and the results were 39% of people said leave them in the past, and then 55% of people said it depends, but take some caution. And then 6% said, yes, I'm really good friends with some of my exes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that a majority of the use cases definitely are not friend-worthy, even in my personal history. So I feel you.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like, I don't know, when people say, oh, we should just be friends as they're breaking up with you, I feel like they say that to make it sound less harsh, you know, to soften the blow.
Yeah. I think one of the other things is like, who is an ex? And like, so for me, one of my really good friends, we actually met. So for background, I've never dated a longtime friend. So a lot of people, you know, like they know someone for 10 years and then it graduates into a romantic relationship. I've never done that. I've always like met someone for the first time and decided that this is someone that I would like to go on a date with. And then, So what happened a couple of times in college, and I guess that's because it's college, we went out on a few dates, tried the relationship route, and then we're like, no, we're better off as friends. In that case, I feel like I have a really, really good best friend where we actually started off dating. But now people don't know that. Like if you meet him and I now, nobody has any idea that we had a romantic history at some point in time because we're now best friends. And like he's going to be like a groomsman at my wedding. Like that is decided. Like he's that close. And nobody knows how we met and how many dates we went on before we decided to like call it a day. But I think it really depends on that. Like, how long was it? How serious was it? Are both of you, like, in this case, both of us were just looking for something radically different. And both of us were just like, we literally gave each other a handshake, I think, on the, at that conversation. We were like, yeah. Friends. Because I was very open about what I wanted. I wanted a long-term serious relationship. And he had commitment issues. And he was like, I don't really want to do that. But I cannot stop hanging out with you. You're like the person I want to talk to for like 5 hours a day. So I was like, okay, let's just be friends then. And it had only been 3 weeks.
That's different. Like when you go on a couple of dates with somebody and you just decide, hey, maybe the chemistry isn't there, but we're truly just better off as friends.
Yeah.
That's different than someone that you invested a lot of time into and that you were really heartbroken over and that you had a rough time with. Next question was submitted by someone and they write, my ex and I broke up 2 months ago. I keep reliving our old memories and I can't seem to stop replaying them. How do I stop this? I know it's very unhealthy and leading me towards self-destruction.
First off, I would say if it is getting to the point of self-destruction, please reach out for help. I think one of the things that I have definitely done, and I'm not even afraid to admit it, but you can always call a suicide hotline and there's always someone to talk to you on the other end. And even if you're not in active danger at that point in time and you just need a professional to listen to you, that is the easiest access you can get to a professional. Obviously, I would recommend calling during like off times, like a Wednesday lunch, so that you're not reducing resources for other people who do need access, right? Like, so in terms of that, if you're going down the path of self-destruction, please reach out for help, whether it's active destruction or passive destruction, whichever. There's a lot of people out there for you, whether it's your own support structure, professional support structure, anything. However, on reliving memories, I think we have a tendency, social media, movies, everything, we have a tendency to always see the best things in life. And so one of the things that I did during my breakup, again, I'm very overly logical. And Julie, I'm sure you're going to see that like Purdue mentality, like the nerd mentality. But I like wrote down positive memories on one column. And for each positive memory, I would try to remember a negative memory. And I would try to remember that it was not like all happy. It was there was a lot of negatives too. And once you start writing down negatives, sometimes you'll find that there are more negatives than the positive memories. So like for every, I started off with like writing, I remembered one small fight. Once I remember that small fight, I was like, oh, during that small fight, this was said. And that was like super toxic. And then, oh yeah, the other time that that person said that to me was during this other fight that was a lot bigger. And then you slowly start like unraveling this like box that you had left very far in your brain of negative memories is not something we keep at the front of our brain. So negative memories, bring those up and realize that you're better. Like I crossed them out. I was like, okay, every positive memory, we have a negative one that equals out. And then I ended up with a bunch of negatives that were more than the positives. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm better off without this person. Like, I truly need to stop remembering these happy moments because there are more bad moments and I can continue this list forever. So that's kind of my way of like logicking out of it, because I've been there. Like, I would go down and like watch our old vacation videos, and we used to do a lot of like vlogs and reels and those kind of things. And like my Instagram feed was filled with buzz, and I went and archived all those posts, and then I would go to my archives and look at those posts, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, and then I started to remember all of the things. And then my friends actually told me to go through text messages too, to my friends. So there were times where I would like text my friends and be like, oh my god, we had a huge fight today, this is what happened, blah blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And reading through how much emotional despair I was in those times also helped me remember that this person was not all green.
Yeah, like, you don't want to dwell on the negative experiences and memories forever, but it is important to keep them in the back of your mind so that you can get some perspective on that, like, you actually weren't happy during that relationship.
Yeah.
I think that if you are having trouble moving on and you're constantly just being reminded of this person and you're reliving memories through pictures and old text messages and things like that, like, I'm a fan of just wiping everything clean, you know, deleting the old messages, deleting the pictures, deleting the things that are allowing you to live in the past. Like, your storage space will thank you. I think just looking at photos and like reading messages and other old stuff is literally just going to prolong the whole moving on process. Like, the more hung up you stay on this person, the more time it takes to just move on. You know, like, I'm team remind yourself why they're an ex, get rid of their shit, and move on.
On that topic, everybody, please do not forget to clear your Snapchat memories, because you think you're okay and then it comes back with a where were you 1 year ago, and
yes,
you open it and you forget that it was right there. So Snapchat memories and your phone, both, like, whatever cloud storage you have and your regular storage too.
What do you think about the idea of gifts, like holding on to gifts from exes?
I have a couple of gifts that I would say like are non-romantic gifts, like outfits, like,
yeah,
like regular outfits, none of those outfits, just regular, you know, rompers or like dresses, whatever, that I have held on to, because I think it depends on how it makes you feel. Like, in this case, I felt confident wearing it because somebody had chosen it for me and thought it would look good on me. And like, it didn't matter to me who it was, but I didn't wear them for a while. In fact, like, I think a couple of them I might have given away. Like, I kept them, but I didn't wear them again, but I didn't throw them. But romantic gifts are something I'm like a strong, strong believer that if there's something that has a romantic attachment, I have, my ex used to give me a bracelet for every Valentine's Day. So I had like two or three bracelets, that were all like matching and you could stack them. I put all of them up on Facebook Marketplace and got rid of them pretty soon. They were valuable, so I was like, might as well make some money off of this breakup. But I was like, no, there's no way I'm wearing this again without feeling the way that I felt when I got them. So the romantic gifts, definitely get rid of other gifts. And I'm 50-50. If they bought you like a couch or something, like, keep the couch, girl. Like,
yeah. No, I'm with you. I think if you had gifts that had sentimental value, then get rid of them.
Yeah.
But I have gifts that were not sentimental in nature that I've kind of unintentionally kept. And now so much time has passed that I feel zero connection or emotion to this tangible gift. And it's something that I just keep because it's useful to me, you know, and it actually has served some function. So for example, I have this really thick DePaul University hoodie that my high school boyfriend bought for me. And it's like a really thick, good quality hoodie. Like, it's not one of those cheap $19.99 hoodies from the university bookstore. Like, it keeps you really warm. And I still have it like to this day. And I keep it because I literally like wearing it when I'm cold. And that's the only purpose that it serves.
To be fair, I don't think I'm going to return a hoodie to anybody unless they ask for it back. If nobody's asking for it, I'm keeping a hoodie forever. Like, hoodies are my love language.
Yeah. And if they're not asking for it back, they like clearly forgot about it.
That's fine. It's mine now.
But I do think like jewelry and other gifts that were romantic or sentimental in nature, definitely get rid of.
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of on the topic of removing things and memories, this next question says, I am going through a breakup now. I'm tempted to remove him from my Instagram. Can you offer some perspective of whether it's okay to stay connected with your ex through social media?
So what I did personally is I muted them for that 6 or 7 months where I was trying to be friends with the other person, but I didn't want their face in my, like, as soon as I opened my Instagram, I didn't want their face right there. So they were obviously on my close friends, that came off, and I did mute them. So they didn't know that I wasn't seeing their face all the time. I didn't want to offend them because I was trying to be friends, but I didn't want to see them all the time. And fun fact, but Facebook has this great feature called take a break from somebody. Not that anybody's on Facebook anymore, but you can take a break from said person, and Facebook actually understands breakups. But you can take a break from a person and it'll like deprioritize their feed for like 6 months, I think. But on Instagram, you have to do it a little bit more manually. So I muted them for a couple months. And then I blocked them from my stories because I didn't want them to know where I was consistently either. But I didn't want it to be like, I'm unfollowing you and removing you as a follower, et cetera. So I basically just didn't want them to know like my daily whereabouts. So I blocked my stories and then I muted them because I didn't want them in my face all the time. So like a soft unfollow, that feels like a soft unfollow.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan of muting people that you don't need to be seeing their pictures and stories of. So with Facebook, the take a break, it's basically like Facebook's version of muting people. Is that right? Because I had never heard of that.
It is, but there is like an actual mute button too. So the take a break is like a temporary mute. It's also really crazy, but like Facebook's AI is like crazy. It's like totally on a tangent. When my ex and I broke up, it noticed that our Messenger feed had started like reducing and that we were no longer being tagged in pictures. And like 6 months later, it said, I don't think I ever said like in a relationship, but it said, are you still in contact with blah, blah, blah?
What? Oh my God.
If not, would you like to take a break from them? And I was like, holy, you'd understood that I was talking to somebody on a daily basis. And then it went down to zero. And you know what's going on. Like Facebook knows me better than like some of my friends, I guess. Like, it was really crazy that like Facebook's algorithm actually understood that. So that's on like tech and like craziness. But yeah, Facebook is really smart that way.
I think from the perspective of moving on, if you find yourself like having a really hard time moving on and you're constantly like, you know, checking up on them through like social media and things like that, and all these other efforts to mute or take a break or whatever aren't working, I definitely don't think it's a bad idea to like just remove exes from social media entirely. Like, I don't think it's something that you should feel bad over. I do think you have to ask yourself some questions to determine whether it's good for your mental health to keep seeing this person on social media and being connected on there. I think that if you are like really committed to moving on and you're finding yourself constantly like looking and checking up on what they're doing, like that is only going to drag out getting over them. I think in more situations than not, like you're going to be better off not being connected with them on social media. Again, it's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. I definitely think for us, when I finally did remove him from my social media, I did drop him a message just to let him know. And I think that's really up to you on the relationship that you're trying to have with said person. I felt like just removing them randomly, if I was removed randomly, it would have hurt me. And so therefore, I didn't want to remove someone randomly just in case it hurt them too. So I just dropped him a message and said, hey, you know what, for my mental health, like I need to remove you from my Instagram. I need to unfollow you. And I'd rather not have you following me either because I don't want to have to worry about what you're seeing or anything like that. So my iMessage is still open. If you really need me as a friend, you can always call. I'm not blocking you from anywhere. I'm just removing you as a follower and I'm not like closing the door or anything. I just need you to not be at my door every day, you know? So
yeah. No, I love that. I think that's such great advice. And it's definitely like the mature route to take.
Thanks.
Let's talk about reconciling with an ex. Do you think it's a good idea to get back together with an ex? So we asked this poll on Instagram and the responses were, 56% said nope, exes are exes for a reason. 44% said yes, possibly.
I think there's a big emphasis because of possibly, because I think it's very important. I think people break up for reasons, right? So kind of like in a problem-solving mindset, like if all of those reasons that you were originally broken up have been mitigated. So for example, if long distance was a problem, or if parents were causing problems, or if you feel like said person was not in the right state of mind at that time, or they were not ready for a serious relationship, whatever those problems are, I feel like people change and situations change all the time. So I feel like if those original problems are no longer there, sure. But if you're doing it because it's convenient, no.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people do it out of convenience. And I think that's a bigger problem. Like, don't do it because it's easy.
Right. Exactly. I think the problem with getting back together is a lot of people do it because, you know, whatever, they can't find someone else better, or they think they're going to be lonely forever, or it's convenient, or the idea of starting over is too daunting. And I will say, like, from my own experience, two out of the three relationships, former relationships, including the one from high school, college, involved breaking up and then getting back together and, you know, that whole thing a couple times. And in both situations, like, I was not feeling fulfilled emotionally. Like, I was just not really happy. And so each time when we did get back together, there was no real introspection of whether this is actually a sensible thing to try again, like talking through and mutually figuring out what's going to be different. It was just getting back together, you know, I don't know, for the sake of just trying. And of course, it didn't work out. It just blew up in flames.
Right.
But I think, like, I agree with you. Like, if the circumstances have changed, or like a lifetime has passed and now you're completely different people, like Bennifer, okay, Bennifer 2.0, like they got back together after 20 years. 20 years is a lifetime. They're completely different people. And whatever problems they had before, you can reasonably expect that, like, enough time has passed that they can probably just start fresh as new people.
Yeah. So I have a friend who recently got back together with an ex. And this is where I personally, like, this is where I said, like, this is not what I would do. Her partner was the one who walked away like 3 years ago. And it was because he didn't feel like he didn't appreciate her family dynamics. And everyone has their own family dynamics. And I think a lot of dating is respecting the other person's family dynamics, especially in marriage and like in-laws and whatnot. But he wasn't comfortable with that dynamic. 3 years later, he had dated a bunch of people and was super disappointed in the people that he had dated. And he was like, I think it, like what you said, you're not going to find someone better. And I think he really came back because he was like, okay, I tried it and there's nobody better. So I'm just going to settle for your family dynamics. And they got back together. And I personally am not a fan of that, because at some point in time, he thought he could do better. And that to me is already someone who was not putting me at a number one.
Yeah.
And so personally, I told this friend, I was like, hey, I'm really happy for you, but my heart is not in your relationship. Like, I don't fully support this. So I really appreciate the fact that you're really happy and that so-and-so is coming back in your life. I personally think you should move on with somebody else, because so-and-so walked away. And again, the reason that you break up doesn't change. In her case, her family dynamics is her family. That doesn't change. So it's just that his barriers have changed, or his standards have lowered, because he was disappointed over the last 3 years with the girls that he got. And in that case, to me, that's still not, you know, a 6 out of 10 is still a 6 out of 10, even if you like change your version of what a 6 out of 10 is, you know, like it is still what it is. So personally, I think like that's a situation where I did not recommend them getting back together. I didn't support it either. But a lot of people were really happy about it, because they were apparently a very good couple when they were together, which is not when I knew them. So it's something like, I think that feels like a combination of convenience as well as, oh, I tried it and I couldn't get anybody better. I guess this is just the best that I'm going to get, and I'm going to have to settle for that. And it felt like settling on both sides a little bit.
Are they still together?
They are. Well, this is recent news. This has been like 4 months.
Got it.
Of getting back together. Yeah. So I think rightfully so. I don't think she's sharing the finer details of their relationship with me because I already explicitly told her that I wasn't supportive of it. So I don't think I'm getting, I don't think I'm tuned into the close friends of this relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
This next person writes, I keep hearing love yourself first, quote unquote, pour energy into yourself and work on yourself. I'm honestly kind of tired of hearing about this. Does this really help heal heartbreak? I just feel like I'm constantly trying to improve. So if that's the case, when will I ever feel content and ready to date again? How do you not compare past relationships when going out and dating again? How do we really eliminate hope of getting back with an ex or seeing stuff through rose-colored glasses?
That was a lot. Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple different questions in there.
I think we covered the rose-colored glasses one with like comparing like the positive with the not-so-positive memories. The one before that was, how do you not compare relationships, right? So I think for that one, I would say the easiest way for me to not compare relationships is to remember that every person is different and every experience is different. So there are times where I'm like, oh yeah, X, Y, and Z used to like make better food. I don't know, like something random, right? But you have to remember that like the person you're with today or the person that you're hoping to meet have standards, obviously, but they're going to be better in different ways or worse in different ways. It's just about what you need in your life and what you're looking for and whether in those like rubrics, are they better? I always think like we have an improvement curve and also we get finer with the details of what we're looking for with each relationship. So just like with each relationship, just like be more detailed about what you're looking for. Just understand yourself better. And try to remember that every person is different and like people bring different things to the table. And you just have to find someone that's bringing something to the table that you want.
Yeah. And I also think that it's easy to compare at the beginning of new relationships. Like when you first start dating someone new and you're comparing them to someone from your past. I think it's easy to do that at the beginning of new relationships because your new relationship hasn't taken off the ground and the things from the prior relationship that you are comparing to are probably elements that you've built over time. And that kind of like closeness just takes time to build up.
Yeah.
Completely agree. So the first part of that question was the part about like working on yourself.
Yeah.
And feeling content with your own journey of self-improvement and how that translates to like being ready to put yourself out there and date. I think with that, the way I see it is it's important to keep things in perspective and not make your search for a relationship like the center of your life. Like, I think that's the main thing to remember is like, you know, focus on activities that you enjoy that improve your life in some way or want to learn or want to try. Like that creates depth, that creates substance. Like don't be that, you know, person that just does the same old shit year in and year out. And I think the point of like pour into yourself is don't stop doing those things because you're so hyper focused on finding a relationship such that it detracts from your ability to, you know, make most of the time that you have now of being single. Like, I don't think that meeting new people and working on yourself, like, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. You can do both things. Like, we're all going to be a work in progress, and you don't have to wait to think that you're the perfect version before you start saying yes to dating new people. I do think there is something to be said about, like, okay, if you yourself, you know you have some poor behaviors or behaviors or thoughts that are sabotaging your romantic relationships, then I think that's kind of a different situation that certainly can warrant perhaps separating yourself from entering new relationships until you can like really work through those issues either on your own or with the help of a therapist or something like that. But I think the whole concept of like pouring into yourself, I think the intent behind it is don't center your like whole life around getting into a relationship and like making that, you know, your one and only objective. Like the point is don't neglect yourself, like continue to take steps to further your own life and just be the best version of yourself. And that I think will naturally attract high quality people into your life.
I think you phrased it perfectly. I think one of the biggest things that I do is I have a really unhealthy relationship with food. So like this person's question said about improving yourself. And I think a lot of times like pouring into myself was less about like improving and more about like surviving too. Like it was just like, okay, have I eaten 3 meals today? Okay, that's better than yesterday. And then the next day, okay, shit, I ate 5 meals today. Well, that was too much. Okay, I need to go back to eating 3 meals today, tomorrow. So I think a lot of times it's about like, just like setting some goals for yourself and to not feel like life has no goals. Because sometimes like when you get out of a relationship or you have your heart broken, you're just like lost. And I think a lot of times people say pour into yourself is to give yourself some goals to like move 24 hours at a time, right? So for me, like a lot of things that I realized after my previous breakup was that I hadn't done a lot of things in life. It wasn't really about improving. Like I wasn't like, oh, here's my, a lot of people are like workout. And I think that's like the worst thing. Like, because for me, I don't have a very healthy body image. So if I work out during a breakup, I'm doing it in order to look more attractive to other people that I'm going to date. So for me, I don't work out during a breakup. I'm like, no, I'm going to do healthy habits, but I'm not necessarily going to like push myself down this body dysmorphia route. And I think it's different for every single person. For me, a lot of it was like eating, drinking water, going to classes, which was because I was in college at the time. And a lot of things were new to me. Like, for example, I'd never been to a restaurant alone. And it was like growth in a different way. It wasn't necessarily like improvement. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, hey, Adia, like, go eat alone one day. Like, not DoorDash. Like, genuinely eat in a restaurant alone. And so those kind of little things, I actually still have not watched a movie alone. So whenever that comes around, I'm going to at one point sit in a theater alone and be like, okay, this is an improvement for me. And I think that's something you continuously do even while you're in a relationship. Like I'm in a relationship now and there are times where I had like never been to brunch alone because brunch is like a typically very coupley thing. And so I would order brunch to my house and like, it would be soggy, the egg would have run and like whatnot. And I was complaining to my long distance boyfriend. And he was like, why don't you go to lunch alone? He's very comfortable with being alone versus me. Uh-huh. So he was like, definitely do these things. And so I think you continue to pour into yourself, even when you're in a relationship. There's a lot of things that you should do for yourself. Like if you want to do yoga, but your partner's not into yoga, do yoga. Do yoga because it makes you happy. Like it doesn't matter whether you're in a relationship or not. I think you should continue to pour into yourself in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. So we got a couple more questions, just two more questions. Let me check where we're out on time. Okay. All right. So let's try to move through these. So we have two more. So this next one says, it's been 4 months since my quote situationship ended. It's been extremely detrimental to my mental health that I struggle to focus in other areas of my life and I'm struggling to move on. I know deep down this was not a good match for many reasons, but I am having a tough time with the rejection piece and feeling like I wasn't good enough. I'm struggling with how to heal from this and move on. Do you have any advice on things I can do or tell myself to move on?
I two short suggestions, and I would say this to everybody, and this is like one of those self-love things, affirmation journals. I'm a big fan of journaling and like affirmations, and I write myself an affirmation every morning, irrespective of my relationship status, that reminds me of something that I'm proud of myself for. So like, for example, today's affirmation was, I'm proud of taking my unemployment in stride because I have been unemployed for 2 months to the date. So that's why that was today's affirmation, is like, it's okay, you're going to find a job and it's all going to be okay. I think writing yourself affirmations is so important. Sometimes we like negative talk ourselves so much that like the self positive talk is super important. And then the second part, man, I forgot the second part.
The second part was, I'm having a tough time with the rejection piece and feeling like I wasn't good enough.
I think that something is like, I like to do like a Venn diagram. It's weird. Again, lots of science logic here, but like what said person was looking for and what I want to offer in a relationship. If and this person knows that it's not a good match, she'll see that there's actually, I don't know who it is. They will see that there's actually a very little overlap in that Venn diagram. Like if somebody, for example, for me, if somebody's looking for somebody who loves cooking, cooking is like one of my top least 10 favorite activities in this world. So it's not a good match. I can tell you that right from the beginning. I can probably tell you that from the first date. So that those kind of things like help make rejections better is because if it isn't a good match, just kind of like remind yourself of what you have to bring to the table and find somebody who would be looking for those things too. Because I think it's really important to remember that relationships go both ways. Like what you have to bring to the table, somebody else has to want that. And you have to want what they bring to the table. So yeah. If it's not a good match, there is somebody out there who's looking for what you have to offer.
Yeah. And I think like a big thing is also just like shifting your mindset from like thinking of yourself as less because the relationship didn't work out and more of it as it just wasn't a good match, right? There are 7 billion people on this planet. Like not everyone is going to be a match for you. And it's not always like a you thing or a me thing. Sometimes it's just an us thing. Like we just weren't a match together. And so I think it's, you know, self-honoring to acknowledge that the relationship ended for a reason and just to acknowledge that not everyone is going to be a match for you. And that's okay. But there is someone that will be a match for you. It just wasn't this person. And then I think like what you said, like writing down affirmations can be so valuable, helpful. And just being around people who you can talk to that are positive sources, going to therapy, you know, and doing all of that self-healing can be really, really wonderful. I think like it's tough when you're dealing with breakups because I think like time is the biggest healer. And unfortunately, you almost have to just acknowledge that like this period of this breakup season is just gonna suck and you're gonna get over it. But like this period of your life may not be normal. You may not be doing all of the normal things that you do or following your previous routines. And there's some degree of that where that's okay and probably like needed so that you can just fully go through the process and then move on. You know, like when I went through my breakup, the one that I really struggled with, I didn't work out for like a couple months. And I normally work out 3-4 times a week. And I just accepted that. I wasn't feeling bad or like beating myself up because I wasn't working out. I just said, you know what, I just like need to like spend the next 2 to 3 months just like taking a break. And right now, doing my regular workouts just can't be part of my routine. And that's okay. And then once I finally got out of that breakup season, then I was able to just jump back into like the things that I love doing and my routines and all of that.
And how good did it feel when you could jump back into it? Like when you felt like your normal self again?
Oh my gosh, the best feeling. Yeah. Literally I just felt like almost like a whole new woman.
Yeah.
So last question is, I am preparing to end a relationship. After many months of back and forth, I've decided I need to end it. What is the best way to prepare to break up with someone?
This is a toughie. I would say, one, stand your ground. I am very easily swayed at like this back and forth thing. I have, in fact, one of my emotionally abusive relationships, not the one we talked about today, I spent 3 months trying to get out of that relationship because every time I tried, the cycle of abuse and like the apologies and everything, I would get sucked right back into it. So really stand your ground and like have your reasons. I practice breakup speeches in the mirror.
Like, oh my gosh, yes.
TED Talk style. Like you're going to give a TED Talk. You got to make a point to an audience. The audience is going to be your ex. It's not going to be easy. Like, prepare that speech and be ready to give like a speech of your lifetime and then walk out. Like, make the audience cry and move on. Like,
yeah, totally. I know like in the past when I've had to end things, like just standing my ground was something I try to really keep at the forefront. And I would always write down all of the things that I wanted to talk about in my quote breakup speech. And then I would practice that. And then I'd try to have that in front of me because I knew like otherwise I'm going to forget to say all these important things.
Yeah. Or as soon as like one person sheds a tear, I'm just like, oh, nope, there's the softie in me. I can't continue talking anymore. Like I need to have that speech and like the contentions, like almost like speech and debate style. Like, what is each stanza? Why is this breakup happening? Reason 1, 2, 3. Conclusion. Okay, thank you for listening. I'm leaving. Do you have anything else to say? Do you have any questions? Okay, great. I'm going to go with that. Like,
yeah. And I think if you're the one doing the breakup and there wasn't any like harm or issues and it's just more your feelings have changed, then I think one, it's important to like have reflected on it enough to feel certain. And it sounds like this person has.
Yeah.
But then also just like being patient and giving the other person a chance to ask all their questions and really just like talk through it, like being patient with them, because they probably will be really confused or in shock, you know. And I think just overall showing some empathy for the person that is being broken up with, I think is also really important. Just kind of keeping like kindness at the forefront.
Especially if this, I don't know if the going back and forth has happened in this person's head or in conversations. If it's gone back and forth in conversations, the other person might be aware of the fact that this relationship is like on a deathbed. But if it's only happened inside this person's head, a lot of times we forget that like when we overthink things, the other person has no idea. The other person might think that we're like getting married next month, but like we have been thinking about breaking up with them for 4 months, right? So yeah. I think, I definitely think all jokes aside, like please don't treat it like a TED talk. Please definitely be understanding of the other person there and their emotions, or if they have feelings that are being hurt, if they're crying, please be a shoulder for them, not for too long, because that blurs the line of a breakup, but especially on the day of, or maybe like 1 or 2 days after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And also, I don't think breaking up with someone via text is appropriate. I mean, when it's someone that you have invested into for a long period of time, like it cannot be through text, like have some decency. And it's crazy that I still hear of stories or posts on TikTok of people getting broken up through text. And it's just so wild to me. But please don't break up through text.
Do not recommend. I do recommend if it is like a short term relationship, or if like especially if you fear for your safety or anything like that, like if there's reasons where you don't want to meet someone in person, please use that as an alternative, but don't use that as the first choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. Well, that is all we have today. Adya, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about breakups and moving on and talking through these Q&A. I hope this episode is helpful for people. If people who are listening want to connect with you or follow up, where can they find you?
So my easiest platform right now is going to be Instagram or TikTok. You can follow me at The Desi Career Woman. Desi is D-E-S-I. And besides that, you can find me on LinkedIn if you want to connect with me professionally. But I don't know why you would do that after you've heard about my breakup. But those are my main channels, TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Awesome. Yeah, and we'll add that to the show notes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review. You can also connect with us on Instagram at @thebrowngirl_podcast and all other social media platforms listed in the show notes. Thank you again. I appreciate you being here.